Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Techno Wizard, Techno Shaman, and Necro Futurist, and other cool stuff like that. It is February 6th, Tuesday. Goodness, I almost forgot the day. Tuesday, February 6th, 12:55 p.m., 2024. And I just want to do a quick episode. Ish, it has to be quick, you know. I meant to start earlier, but I kind of lost track of time working. But I got a meeting at 1:30, so got to be done in less than 30 minutes. So relatively quick. So I wanted to talk about something that was brought to my brought to my attention recently about myself. It was some interesting self realizations, you know. So I've realized in talking with my good friend, shout out to Zach. You know, we have some great discussions oftentimes. And this was kind of like in conjunction with some other realizations or other conversations I had recently, but also kind of, you know, goes back into some other things I've noticed about myself in the past couple of years, really. Kind of something I've become more and more conscious of, especially after this last conversation. So what is this thing? It's kind of sounds silly, but is that I can be really intense sometimes, you know? And that part is not like the realization. What I mean by that is specifically this phrase that I use that I use is that I like to pull the thread. You know, I like to follow the thread of things to see where things lead. But it gets kind of worse than that. Like, I hesitate to call it a bad thing, but it is something I have to be more and more conscious of, especially as I, you know, try to make friends and talk to people more and, you know, share my own ideas out and stuff like that in the world. I don't just like to follow a thread. I like to, and see where it leads. I like to pull that thread, and I will keep pulling until either the thing can't be pulled, like I see, you know, the source, and you know the whole fabric is strong enough where you know nothing untoward happens, or and this often happens, unfortunately, is something unravels. Right, the whole cloth unravels or whatever. Obviously, this is all the metaphor, but it's a powerful metaphor, right? And it's something I've been, you know, looking. I've been like kind of meditating on and thinking on more in the past couple of days, and it just rings very true to myself. I like to pull a thread. I like to follow threads, and I like to pull them until something unravels, or the thing that I'm pulling at proves strong enough, right? And by that, you know, what I mean here, just to give you a couple of examples. So this past one was from, because I recently, you know, put out my Anarcho Technology newsletter, right? And in this conversation, there was a disagreement on like anarchism and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, cool. But like, why? Like, why do you not like anarchism? You know? And I do understand like how that can be seen as like, oh, you know, everybody should love anarchism. Like, that's not the point here. And what I was trying to get through in like the discussion is like, let me back up a second. So throughout the conversation, you know, I tried to point out that, you know, how do I pick up this thread? Like as I'm talking about it, that's the other hard part. Like when you pull thread, like where is the beginning again? Like, you know, I just say we had a disagreement on anarchism, or like he didn't really, you know, like the concept, but I was trying to understand, I guess, why, you know, specifically what about it, you know, is not for you, right? So you said some things, but I was like, okay, those are like debunked. Like those are like arguments that not, I feel like don't really make sense, because there's, you know, kind of counter arguments that are very strong against those things. So like, is there like better reasons or something like that? Like, you know, stuff like that, you know, and I'm kind of like following the thread. I'm like, okay, like where is this coming from? Like what did you read or what did you look at, or, you know, stuff like that. And I'm sure he'll correct me if I was wrong, but it felt like he was kind of getting a little bit defensive. And you know, that was not my intention. It's like, I didn't mean to like try to, you know, attack him, or on the other side, maybe he felt like I was being defensive. You know, I was trying to defend anarchism, whatever. But either way, the intent was not to go on offense or on defense. You know, it was just to understand, you know, where this was coming from, like what his mindset was, like what his process was, right? Another way to look at this is like, I like to, even though I'm by no means, you know, a quote unquote real scientist, I like to have a scientific approach to life, right? Like when I look at things, I try to observe something. I try to, you know, see, does that observation, you know, try to form a hypothesis around that observation. Does it pan out? You know, what is the evidence? You know, where does it lead? What kind of tests or procedures can you do to, you know, test that hypothesis? Can you disprove it, or can you, you know, stuff like that, right? Just go through the process. It depends. It's not like a specific procedure. You know, that's, I'll get into this a little bit later too, but like the scientific, something to note that people should recognize is that science does not have one method. Like the quote unquote the scientific method is not actually the scientific method. It's a method. You know, so all that to say that, you know, I try to have a scientific approach, which doesn't necessarily have one approach. It's just, you know, a kind of outlook on the world of like, you know, have observations, try to disprove things, try to see where things are going. When you have a better story, you know, or have a better evidence showing to a better conclusion, you know, use that until you can find a better one. There's always better explanations, right? Stuff like that, right? And so what I like to do, especially when it's something I don't understand or don't, not just, yes, don't understand, but also if there's something where I'm not understanding how somebody came to a conclusion, right? The scientific approach, at least in my mind, is to understand their procedure, right? Like, how do they get there? Like, what, like, if two people are doing an experiment, right, and they get different results, you have to wonder why. Like, okay, this person did this, and person B did the other thing, right? And that will help you understand why you came to different conclusions, right? So that's what I was trying to do here. Like, I looked at a whole bunch of information and I came to the conclusion that anarchism is pretty freaking awesome. Like there's a lot of good to be had there and stuff like that, right? While he said he did an investigation and he didn't, he found basically anarchism to be lacking. So I was trying to understand, like, okay, so how did you get there? Like, you know, I hope I'm making sense there. So yeah, I was trying to follow that thread and get to that point, but I felt like it just wasn't going there. It just felt like we were both kind of going past each other and like worried the other person was being defensive or offensive or you know, so on and so forth. So, however, in that conversation, that's where I came up with the realization of myself that I like to follow the thread, you know, and sometimes that can be very off-putting or intense or come off a certain way that's not intended. Right. And this is not the only thing that brought me to this point. My other points of evidence, the other observation points, you know, that brought me to this is just earlier this week or last week, rather. I was having a discussion with somebody at work and we came across the idea of science, right, of being science being objective or versus subjective or whatever. Right. And I was like, science is not actually about being objective. Right. He tried to define science as trying to be objective or something like that. I don't remember the exact words he said, but basically it was the assumption that science is about being objective, right? And even though I can understand that approach, unfortunately it is one that is a common misconception about science, right? And I tried to make that clarification. I'm like, you know, science isn't actually about being objective. It's about, you know, finding the best story, right? And again, as much as I communicate things and write things, I'm not always good at communication. I understand, like, looking back, or even at that moment, I knew that wasn't, like, the best way to put it, right? Like, I use that concept of the best story we have so far, because I really like that quote. I forgot where that quote even came from. I don't know if it was Einstein or Tyson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, or I don't know, I got it from other scientists a long, long time ago, and it always stuck with me. But I do recognize that, unfortunately, especially coming from somebody who is not a quote-unquote, you know, white lab coat scientist, you know, that may not seem like the same, it may not come off the same way, right? But nonetheless, what I tried to communicate was that science isn't about really being objective, because being objectivity itself is a sort of philosophical stance, right? It's not something that's proven. Like, you can't prove something is objective. It's literally impossible as far as we can tell right now. Like, there's no way you can tell something is actually objective. Objectivity itself is an idea, right? It's a perception. It's an assumption of what might be, you know, out there. And it's a concept that we use, right? There's usefulness there, right? The assumption or the idea around objectivity is that you're doing something that's quote unquote unbiased, or you have information or data or a stance or whatever that's quote unquote unbiased, right? But what we see time and time again is that anytime you think you're being unbiased or being objective, you're often not. Right, what's actually happening is that you have some level of bias or subjectivity or whatever that is pretty much either taken for granted, or that's something irreconcilable, if that's the word I can use here. Irreconcilable, I think, how you pronounce it, I don't know. But the point here is that, like, sometimes or oftentimes or pretty much all the time, right, like, we can't actually step out of the system. Right, we all live in the world. We can't step out of the world, out of the universe, out of reality in order to see, you know, what is quote unquote objective, right? And so therefore the very idea of objectivity is a concept that we use, but it's not a quote unquote real thing, right? You can't achieve objectivity. Anytime you think you're being objective, you're not. there's almost always going to be some bias, some subjectivity in the system, right? And I didn't say all that at the time, unfortunately, but we did get to some sort of agreement, which is funny because I ended up disagreeing with it later on to myself, but got to a shaky kind of agreement where the idea of, like, okay, we agree, yeah, you can't really be objective, but objectivity is kind of like what the most of people agree upon at the moment, or something like that, right? Which at the time I was like, oh, fine, whatever, we can land there, right? It's contextual, which I do agree with. I do think objectivity is contextual. Like, you might have some something that's objective in this moment, in this context, right? But even that, because you have to put so many limitations on it, I think it defeats the purpose of the idea. And honestly, I think that's an idea we should retire. Right, the very idea of objectivity is something that should be retired, because it's, though it has been sort of useful, I do think there's been more, you know, issues with trying to be objective than not. There's a lot more I can say about this, but this is not even what I wanted to really, you know, talk super much about. At right now, But yeah, now that I look back, I think what it would have been better is just to simply just pull up the actual definition of science, which when you Google it, you know, when you look up the definition of science, you see there's pretty much nothing about there about objectivity. You know, in the actual definition of science, it's about having a observations and having a methodical approach to, you know, explain the observations, right? It's about creating explanations for things that we see in the world, right? Through a methodical approach, right? So nowhere in that really is objectivity. However, you know, when you look more into it, you know, you do see, of course, you know, the fact that people assume these observations to be objective, or assume the conclusions you get from those observations, from those processes and experiments and stuff like that, to be objective, even though, again, it's not necessarily there. But yeah, what I should have probably done, if I wasn't just constantly trying to follow the thread and pull the thread, was just be like, oh, let's step back, you know, look at the actual definition here, then go from there, instead of me trying to dissect everything at that time, at that moment. So yeah, that's another example there of me like kind of following the thread, and I felt like, you know, that didn't end that discussion or that moment on a good note, unfortunately. And then kind of related to all of this, yet more observations is my own, you know, delving into all the stuff I've been delving into really in the past couple of years. Like my entire life, a lot of my own views have been things that I've relentlessly, you know, pulled the thread until my own beliefs unraveled. You know, I've talked about this before, but like, you know, starting off with being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and then, you know, unraveling all of that, my assumptions about, or my desires for inventing hover cars, you know, and then unraveling all that, my initial desires of that started this podcast off, of wanting to be a trillionaire, you know, wanting to kind of win at capitalism in order to solve the biggest problems by, you know, creating the best companies and inventions and things like that, unraveling all that, you know. Even my forays into spirituality, you know, comes from an unraveling of my assumptions of what is possible in reality. And yet another, which I have been working on recently as well, I've been creating another article for this that I'm probably going to release next month or two, maybe, is my ideas on free will, right? I've been unraveling that. And even my last stance on that, I've since shifted a little bit. Because I've continued to pull the thread. So I think that is why this concept is so important for me to recognize, is because it's something that's very powerful, is very useful for me personally. However, it is something I have to be cognizant of when interacting with other people, right? And it's funny because it's something I have recognized with my partner, right? Where, you know, because we're together all the time, there's been many, many occasions where, especially in our early days of a relationship, where I will pull that thread and unravel her whole belief system. And, you know, it would be a little tough for a little while. She's an amazing person and super smart anyway, so she always ends up, you know, creating, coming to like her own better conclusions and things like that. But it is something that we both recognize. Like, sometimes she may not be in this headspace to, you know, pick apart, you know, these core belief systems or this, that, and the other. And sometimes she is, you know. So seeing when that time is appropriate, just asking, hey, do we want to delve deeper here? You know, I think there's more to say here, or more to dig into here. Do we want to do that now? If not, then fine, cool. You know, just know that if whenever you're ready, you know, you want to delve deeper together, cool, we can do that. But if you don't want to do that right now, that's cool too. You know, I love what you're doing, or, you know, this is a cool idea, or whatever, and then move on, right? So I have like, it's not like 100% solved per se, but I have like have a good way to handle that with her. But it's just surprising to me, I guess, that I haven't even recognized this outside of her, outside of that specific relationship. So now, you know, I do have this. I am realizing this, I guess, and now I will be more cognizant of when I am trying to pull a thread or who I'm doing that with, and ask, or in general, just try to not go directly for or pull too much of that thread too soon. Especially not, you know, without consent. So yeah, that's something I want to share, because it was a very big realization for me. And I hope that folks listening can, you know, if I have done that with you, very, very, very sorry. You know, my sincerest apologies, my deepest apologies. I love just learning things and delving into things, but that's no excuse for being an asshole, even if it's unintended. And I think there is something to be said for, you know, just being better with that, being more grounded, being more self-aware and socially aware as well. So that's always, you know, good to look at there. Yeah, I think that's the main things there. So yeah, once again, if I have done that with you and you didn't have a great experience, I am very, very sorry. Feel free to reach out and, you know, have a more personal apologies for that. Shout out once again to Zach for that. I did, you know, apologize once I realized that, right in the chat, just for everybody else to know. It's not like I'm doing this apology for the first time for him personally, but I don't know, Zach. I guess Zach, if you are listening, let me know if this makes further sense for the context of our own conversation. And anybody else, yeah. Not only am I sorry, but also at the same time, if you do want to delve deeper, if you are, you know, the type of person that wants to dig deeper into things and kind of pull the thread until things unravel, let me know. I would love to walk through that with you, because and I'll end this episode with this, is that something that's very, it is scary to unravel things, right? It's scary to unravel yourself, your core beliefs, your, you know, what you think to be true about the world, what you think to be real, so on and so forth. Like it's terrifying. And maybe I'm just a masochist or a thrill seeker or something, but I enjoy that thrill. Like I enjoy staring to the abyss. And I don't even care if something stares back, you know? What's scarier for me is if nothing stares back. And not in a nihilistic way, like that actually excites me. Like I think I've talked about this before, but I think I like the idea of a positive nihilism. Or nihilism, I guess, is the actual way to explain it, to say that word. If there's no meaning to things, that means you can make your own meaning, right? Like that means everything is possible in this, in a way. Like, you know, there's no rules saying, yeah, things have to be this way, because nothing matters, and therefore anything can matter. What scares me about staring to the abyss, and if nothing stares back, is that, you know, maybe that's not the abyss. You know, maybe there's deeper. And I guess sometimes I'm scared of the idea of falling too deep into that, right? And no longer being able to communicate with other people who are steering far clear of that abyss, right? And this is something I have been wrestling with a lot lately, is the idea of, like, how do you communicate things and ideas that are inherently, I guess, dangerous in a way? like are inherently terrifying, inherently hard to think about, because they fundamentally change, you know, what you perceive as reality, right? For instance, you know, the whole free will thing. I mentioned this before, but, like, there's a very real, you know, thing that happens is when people no longer believe in free will, they do have a very negative, where they often have a very negative, you know, response to that. And to me, that showed me not that free will is real, but it showed me that there is a responsibility to create, to show the alternative at the same time as you do that, right? You can't just say, there's no free will, you know, like Sam Harris and folks like that like to do, because then a lot of people don't know what to do after that, right? Like the mind abhors a vacuum, right? Reality abhors a vacuum. So if there's emptiness, if there's nothing there, it's going to fill it up with a bunch of crap or with fear or with, you know, rejection and stuff like that. Okay, I'm just making sure I'm not over on time. And so for me, I realized that, okay, when you talk about these things, you have to give a viable alternative and show that the alternative is not only a better explanation, but it will fill in that gap even more solidly. Like, it will build a stronger foundation, right? That's why when I initially talked about the idea of free will, I also talked about the idea of awareness of, you know, the importance of being, you know, just more connected with reality, right? Because it kind of replaced that idea with a better one, at least in my hopes. And so, yeah, overall, there's a lot of things in my head. There's a lot of ideas I have that I don't share, that I don't talk about with anybody, because I haven't yet come up with a good way to explain and communicate the better alternatives and explanations and so on and so forth. Especially not concisely. So when I do, and I think that's a big driver as to why I pull that thread so relentlessly sometimes, because I'm trying to find where it ends. I'm trying to find where the strong point is. I'm trying to find, you know, what this should be instead, right? And so I have to be more aware of, like, okay, if I don't have the time or the space or the consent or whatever to pull this thread at this moment, then it's sometimes better to just not even touch it. I can just put a note there and be like, this thread needs to be pulled, but not right now. It doesn't have to be pulled right now, right? Because otherwise, I'm just like, oh, a new thread. Let's pull it, right? There's more here. Let's get into it, right? And I get too excited, and so, you know, things could get wonky. So yeah, all that to say, this was a great, all told, even though I do feel bad about where these things ended, I do feel much better and much more confident about how to move forward. And just ran right into a branch. So much for that, right? But I do still feel more confident about how to move forward. And even though if there is a barrier or if there's, you know, obstacles or something, you know, around this space, I know I'll be able to go around it, or, you know, just navigate it. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Navigate it more successfully. So that's where I'm going to end this, right on time too. So as always, thanks for listening. Let me know your thoughts, and don't be afraid to be radical. Don't be afraid to be revolutionary. Keep being awesome. Keep enjoying love and all that stuff, and know that you are loved. And when you're ready, don't be afraid to pull that thread. But really, be ready for the unraveling too. So yeah, have a great day. See ya. Bye-bye.